Blog Talk Radio.
We're on the air. Welcome to Tim Show. This show is variety show. This is 12 shows. This show is number 12. Since I started doing this show, and that's a dozen. And tonight I'm celebrating that. So thank you for tuning in. Or if you're not tuning in, thank you for listening on the archives, because maybe you're there. Well, the show isn't there yet, but in the future, people can go to the archive and listen to this, what I'm saying right now, but they won't be listening right now. They'll be listening in the future, and then I'll be thank you for listening in the archives. And they'll be well, how did he know we were going to be listening in the archives? Yeah. Welcome to this show. I have a lot of excitement planned. I like to talk on this show about topics on this show. I like to announce announcements on this show. hung up on me. Every time I try to call, you hang up on me. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Tim Murray Variety Show. Murray, Cam Black, and Corn Land.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 503-545-7215 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
In other words, I'm very interested in the VHS cassettes that you have listed on Craigslist. I believe you have a very extensive collection of these VHS cassettes. I was wondering if the $75 is firm, willing to be flexible, perhaps trade. I have some fishing lures. I have a lot of aluminum cans that I've collected, things like that that I'd be willing to barter with you if you're interested in aluminum cans. Give me a call back. Much appreciated. Good night now. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tim Murray Variety Show. This is recording. It's going to be a little bit of a little bit of a little. Oh, just bear with me out there. Bits. Hey, shall we break the phone call? I'm tired of that boring ass show. Well, you have a better idea when you ride shit around and talk about poetry? No, you would not. Unless you're mentally ill. Not saying anything bad about mentally ill people. Don't send me my email.
Why, please leave your message for 503-734-7032.
Hi, yes. I saw your ad on Craigslist for the, were you the one with the Weed Whacker or the, Life of Jesus DVD? Perhaps you were selling both items. But I am interested in both items. I didn't see a price listed. Was this the Life of Jesus DVD that came with the commemorative Weed Whacker, or is this the one was just like a separate Weed Whacker that you had accumulated somewhere? Because I just want to let you know a little heads up that the Life of Jesus DVD complete in its unopened package with the commemorative Weed Whacker is actually a four-digit price value. You could look on eBay with that. I believe they carry it on Amazon from time to time. One will pop up for sale, but they don't last long. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. Let me know. Get back to me. Let me know if it's the commemorative Weed Whacker set or separate Weed Whacker, separate DVD. Very, very important that we make that distinction. All right, then. I'll take care of yourself, and bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye. 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 Yeah. Yeah, 419 area code here in Tim Murray Friday Show. Welcome.
Hello, Tim Murray.
Yeah, who am I speaking with, please?
This is Michael Grover.
Ah, yes. This is actually the call board. You want to get through to the show?
What's going on? I mean, he's such a big star now that he has a call board.
Well, we have been filtering callers in because Tim passed
the ball. Oh yeah, he's got a lot of callers.
Right. He's being actually the show has been flooded with callers every episode.
Yeah, I know.
And actually, so he set up this call board to filter out anybody because he has passed the law in Blog Talk Land.
Well, you know, sir, that I'm a personal friend of Tim Murray's.
All right. Well, here's the thing, though. There's a stipulation,
sir,
about putting you on air with Mr. Murray, and that is he passed a law that nowhere in Blog Talk Land at any time is poetry to be read on air. And
I don't read poetry.
All right. Well, then I don't have any problem putting you right through.
I'm not here to read poetry. What are you talking about?
Hi. Yes. 419 area code. You're on the Tim Murray
what
Variety
do you
Show.
Think
hello,
of
candy caller.
I'm here to read poetry. Hello.
Well, I certainly hope you're not going to be some kind of pansy reading poetry because have you heard
you
about the new
it.
Law? Which is not allowed, my friend.
Poetry has been banned.
We're attempting to ban it from the United States of America. We're going to start with the United States.
Well, it should be.
You believe it should be?
Yes.
So you think? What do you think should happen to a person who is writing poetry or reading poetry?
Should be shot in the head.
Wow.
On sight.
I like you more and more every day, Michael Grover.
Assassination squad.
I think an assassination squad would be pretty neat.
Yeah. They did it in El Salvador. Why not? Worked there.
Seemed to have worked there.
Oh, yeah. No poets around there.
So this idea of actually eradicating poetry with violence in the United States of America would be something that you are a proponent of.
Well, yeah, look how they did Lorca, man.
Yeah, he pretty much got everything he deserved.
Shot him in the ass.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, though, I think with the advent of Facebook and other social media websites and things like that, I think a lot of poets are shooting each other in the ass all the time.
Look at the way this country, they treated Ezra Pound.
Yeah. The thing with Ezra Pound, see, he was a perfectly good fascist, and they took the man.
Yes, he was.
And they destroyed his life, put him in the mental institution, and destroyed the man's life. Now, I support that only because he was a poet. If he was anybody else, I would say he was unjustly jailed, unjustly arrested.
Fascist.
Yeah, he was just a regular fascist without any poetry leanings.
Yeah,
I would protest, but since there's the Cantos thing and all this stuff, I can't help him.
I mean, this country has a great tradition of torturing poets.
Oh, do you have any other examples?
Take Bob Kaufman off the street and give him shock treatment. Come on.
Well, I think that's something that should be reinstituted. I think
it's a great
forced shock treatment. They wouldn't be hard to find these people.
I had a friend that said there's just a little short-term memory loss with the shock treatment.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, have you ever received shock treatment?
No, not me.
Would you be willing if you were arrested for poetry? I mean, would you be somebody who would fight the shock?
Well, why would I be arrested for poetry?
Michael Grover, you kind of have a smelly reputation. Somebody who has written, disseminated, inseminated, recited.
Are you suggesting that I might have wrote a poem or two?
Yeah. That's, you know, I think if you renounce poetry tonight, once and for all, I think you and I can come to some type of agreement where you will be spared from the mass arrests.
Oh, so you're in charge of it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Yeah, I'm pretty much, yeah.
Well, I'm renouncing it, man. Like I said, we have a great tradition in America.
and we should reinstitute those traditions, and we should amp them up now that we have the technology.
I'm not sure the tradition's ever been taken away, but...
But I don't think we're harnessing technology to its to its ultimate goal, which we could get everybody rounded up quickly.
Neat tricks. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could, they're all over Facebook. They're all over...
How about, like, having Guantanamo Bay for poets?
Yeah, I would actually be in favor of releasing any suspected terrorist in order to lock up the poet.
Yeah, in Gitmo, man.
Yes, absolutely.
Have a copy
wait, we have somebody else, another caller who would like to join us.
Cool.
Yes, welcome to Eradicating Poetry with Michael Grover.
Hello.
Things your way.
Hello.
Hello.
This ain't a poet, is it?
Yes, I believe this is actually Robert Frost.
Robert
Mr. Frost.
Hello.
Yeah,
it's Robert Frost.
Track his phone.
Hello.
Track his phone. You gotta get him.
I am Robert Frost.
Mr. Frost?
Yes.
Come on now, Homeland Security.
Can we have your street address, Mr. Frost, in order to send you a postcard?
Yeah.
I'm staying at the Y.
He's staying at the Y.
Hmm.
In the Y at Glendale once. That was
that would be a typical place for poets to stay, would be at a Y anyhow.
Yeah, I was writing poetry at the time, of course.
Well, the particular Y doesn't have any dormitories. It's all just swimming pool.
We are actually in a swimming pool on the phone now.
Yes.
I can hear the water.
Oh, it sounds
it's very
beautiful.
Still. It's like a Lake Placid.
Or else he's playing in the sink.
Hello, this is Robert Frost calling.
Hi,
we heard
Mr.
you the
Frost.
First time there, buddy.
Michael Grover, do you have any questions for Mr. Frost?
Yeah. Well, sir, can I ask why your poetry was so boring?
Let me put down my pipe. Yeah, why was my poetry so boring? It was a practical joke I decided to play on future generations.
Okay.
I certainly hope that's the truth. I really do.
You gotta get this guy, Tim.
Yeah,
but it's not exciting enough for you.
No, Tim got a good laugh out of that.
There's no explosions.
Yeah.
There's no body parts being flung.
Well, that's just action movies. We Americans like them.
Oh, right. I understand.
And it's a good thing, actually, that Robert Frost was not American. You know, that's really a very...
Oh, they would have tortured him.
Yeah, that's very good that he was Spanish, I believe, or possibly Swedish. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's a good thing that he wasn't from the United States.
Yeah.
That's actually, I am from the United States.
So where'd you pick up that funny accent from?
The why.
The why? Well, it's a very eclectic place.
Michael Grover, I mean, if you're bored by the poetry of Mr. Frost, I'm sorry, Mr. Frost. Go ahead.
I'd like to read a little bit of poetry.
And that's not allowed, sir.
I'm going to tell you.
We don't tolerate that around here.
I would like to read a poem by Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison? What about Nikola Tesla, man? Everybody thinks Edison was so cool. Tesla.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go.
You know, actually, Mr. Frost, that was a beautiful, oh my goodness, Actually, I think I still have that on the wax cylinder, the original recording.
Edison wrote that?
Of Mr. Edison reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb for his invention. And, wow, you took my breath away, Mr. Frost. Wow.
Yeah. Like, wow. I love reading Tom, if I can call him Tom. I love reading Tom's version.
Tom really, I mean, he took that to, you know, from boring nursery rhyme, and he turned it into something that was both revolutionary and also something that transcends time. I mean, it's a work of beauty.
Well, it's all about God, isn't it?
Well, it is, it is. I mean, I think that's the main thing. I think Michael Grover's disgust with your poetry is that there's not enough of the explosions, there's not enough of the
right.
Perhaps alcoholic consumption or whores. That
Marijuana.
That
marijuana of the gods.
Yes, in the night. And on my other radio show, I actually...
You have two radio shows?
Yeah, yeah. And my other show, you can't listen to it or anything like that. And I never promote it or anything. But yeah, in my other show, all this will make sense there.
That's right.
All the lessons will be tied up on the other show.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
Where do you read that?
I read Tom Edison's version. I'm reading the other version now.
Okay.
It followed her to school one day, which was against the rule. The lamb is against the rule.
Is it an anarchist lamb?
No, it is God.
Well, I believe that was that the Pink Floyd version?
Yes. Roger Waters.
Roger Waters' version. Michael Grover, you could possibly do an update for the 21st century Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mary Had a Little Lamb and got hit by a car.
Yeah.
And died.
Whoa. Mary had a little lamb. No, Mary had a little whore in the lost tavern of the gods.
Mary had a shot of gin. Mary had the clap. Mary ate tacos locos and had to take a nap.
Yeah, I think gringo tacos, though. I mean, I would like to actually talk about Gringo Tacos.
Gringo
Broco.
Taco. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I forgot about that place.
You take a
I
wonderful...
I didn't eat at that place, man. You guys ate at that place.
I attempted to
like
eat at that place, Michael
you
Grover.
See,
I attempted.
Gringos cannot make tacos.
No, I learned that the gringo conception of a taco is a paper plate that has been soaked in water... that you then roll up sloppy joes inside of that paper plate.
Sure.
And serve that as a taco. That's actually a gringo taco.
Well, we have a taco truck down the street that serves fine bean burritos.
Now, were they gringo tacos?
No, they're Mexican.
I would like a Turkey Joe sandwich.
Yeah, a Turkey Joe sandwich.
You would love gringo taco then.
Yeah, I think Robert would be beside himself at Gringo Tacos. A little bit of manwich, a little bit of hamburger meat, you roll it up in the wet paper plate. Beautiful. I mean, it's just...
It's a burrito.
Yeah.
Burrito. Doritos and Fritos. And Churritos. Mosquitoes. Southern Illinois, down there by New Albany.
Oh, maybe down there by
Danville.
Carbondale.
Carbondale SIU Salukis.
Carbondale.
That's down there by St. Louis.
Is that Roger?
Yeah. This is Roger.
Where the heck is
He's no Robert Frost anymore.
I think we dropped the caller. He must have dropped the phone in the pool.
He was reading poetry. He had to drop him.
You had Robert Frost on there, man?
Yeah, I didn't know. Actually, he was still alive, and he seems to be doing very well. He's kicking back in a swimming pool, and I assume that he either drowned or dropped the phone. I'm not sure.
I thought he died like 50 years ago, man.
Oh, no. He's still here with us.
I think the authorities got him.
It actually could have been his spirit that called, because we know that that'll live forever in the world of poetry. So,
yeah.
I believe that's what called us tonight.
Well, he's a better poet than I'll ever be, man. That's all I know.
Oh, Roger, I think, you know, I really enjoyed a lot of your poetry in the spiral notebooks with the title of your poetry books erased into the covers, and I really enjoyed
Yeah, that's a special technique, man.
Yeah, that was some very moving pieces.
You can do that on your skin too, man. I still got from
scab it up. Will you just scab it up or what, man?
You just keep erasing it, man. Yeah, and it just rubs it down and scabs up and got like raised letters. I still got it from my 8th grade girlfriend, Leanne.
Did she put Leanne in your arm, or did she write something nasty when you were passed out? Or
no, I did it. I wrote Leanne in my forearm.
Oh, you wrote Leanne. And it hasn't healed up? I mean, you still have the raised Leanne.
Well, yeah, it healed, but it's scarred, you know.
Yeah.
Don't keep it clean. Keep it right on the verge of infection. You know,
Michael Grover, have you ever erased someone's name into your arm?
No, I never did that, no.
You should try it, Mike.
I got staph infection once when I was a kid.
Ooh, man, that's no fun.
Where'd you get that from, Michael Grover?
My big wheel.
There's staph all over everything. I'm surprised more people don't get staph infections, man.
Well, I think 73% of Americans actually have staph infection at all times, and they're unaware of it.
That's gnarly, man.
It was pretty sick. You don't want to get staph infection.
So what happened to you, Michael? You were sitting on this big wheel. All of a sudden,
The brakes on, and I drug my foot, and I scraped my foot all up, and then I started to get staph infection, and I got these brown lumps going up my leg.
Brown lumps?
Brown lumps.
Was it diagnosed by a medical doctor?
Yeah, the neighbor.
Grandma just poured some baking soda on it. Get the hell out of the house.
Are you regular?
Grandma would always ask.
Did she ever feed you cold hot dogs out of the fridge on a summer day? Take your lunch out on the driveway, Michael.
She always cooked the hot dogs.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Well, you can eat them raw, man. It's not really raw. They're pre-cooked.
Yeah.
Back then, I ate meat, you know.
It's not really even meat, man, at this point.
It's completely vegan, man. It's
vegan.
It's just
like smart dogs.
Byproduct manufacturing. Hot dogs are their own byproducts, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even actually.
Think about that.
It's not actually even an animal. It's you know, it may have never lived, you know, so it's actually vegan.
Yeah.
Organic.
Okay. Very green.
Now, a very, very pressing question for you, a very serious question, Michael Grover. Did you actually survive the staph infection?
Obviously, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I survived the staph infection.
Do you have your legs sawed off or anything like that?
No, I did not have my legs sawed off or anything like that. I did not get
How did it go away?
Gangrene of the leg.
How did it go away?
Well, I got some antibiotics, I think.
So Grandma
have you
basically
surmised anything?
Well, actually, Grandma gave took you the she had the green bean can that she left over from supper that she folded a paper towel in and was using it for her her snuff, and she actually poured that on your leg, and that was it creates like a DNA seal, a seal of to resist that infection and chase it out of your youthful leg.
How did you know?
My friend.
You've been through all this before.
Yeah.
Hello, come mate.
Come over here, boy.
What's Roger doing over there?
Oh, man, you? I'm just chilling, sure. Man. You know, man. You know.
You've been staying out of trouble, Roger?
I've been trying.
Roger's always in trouble with the law.
Well, I was born under a bad sign on wrong side of the tracks on a Friday the 13th.
Was it nighttime when you were born?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't last
hard
night.
Hard luck, man.
Yeah. I want to go to bike school.
Do you mean like BMX bikes or?
Well, yeah, bicycles.
Mostly
learn
bicycles.
How to be bike mechanic. Don't lie.
There's an episode of the Brady Bunch. Yeah, well, I mean, there's an episode of the Brady Bunch. I think Peter gets an after-school job, but you could probably watch that a couple of times and see how he handled some of the bigger projects and the bigger, you know, mechanical problems that came through the shop.
You know, back in 1974 when the Brady Bunch ended, there was, you know, not as many types of bikes as there are now. The technology keeps advancing, man. There's pretty sophisticated technology going on. If you're a bike store owner, you got to keep up with that, man.
What is the best way for a bike store owner to keep up with the ever-increasing technology when it comes to bicycling?
Oh, you know, you got to go read the magazines and go to trade shows, talk with other bike store owners, with bicyclists. And, of course, the sales reps are going to keep you filled in.
Right.
From what? I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Now, do you think the
would be a good job?
I think it'd be wonderful. Do you think that the financial aid will go through? Or are you having a problem getting the financing for bicycle school? Or
see, I don't know if they even take financial aid. This is school. I don't know if I should mention it on there.
Like a tech school?
No, it's just a. But one place, well, they got two locations now. But they're accredited stuff, but it's not like a regular tech school. It's just bikes.
Please mention the name on the air, Roger.
I'm sure they could use the business.
Well, they're pretty big. They just opened their second campus.
Okay.
It's United Bicycle Institute. In Ashland and Portland.
Wow. Now, I was wondering, Portland, Oregon, they don't even have cars there anymore, so I think you would have a very lucrative position if you were a bike repairman in Portland, Oregon.
It's kind of like where around my parts, Boulder, you know, there's bikes. It's all about bicycles.
You're not affected by the floods out there, are you?
Oh, man. It's terrible, and the government's doing nothing.
How are you on the phone?
sir.
I have a cell phone, sir.
Roger, have all of your belongings and your home stayed dry through this flooding?
I don't have any belongings. Just my clothes and got to get to school. I did. I quit smoking back in February, and I've been smoking the electronic cigarettes since February, and I just quit them.
Okay, and are you using any tobacco products at all, or are you dipping? Or are you?
I'm dipping, and I got the nicotine gum, but at least I'm not smoking.
Yes, sir. And why did you quit the electronic cigarette?
Well, I had planned on them just being a way to help me quit smoking tobacco. And I was able to do that for 6 months or 7 months. And I just decided it was time. Because you realize, okay, you smoke cigarettes for a long time, and you don't realize, like, how much they suck. Because they become such a part of your everyday life. But then when you switch it up a little bit to the electronics, you're noticing all these things that you do, like all the poking and pouring and scraping and this and that. And you only notice it because it's something new. See what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into like this very, very, like, esoteric smokers realm here, and
that's pretty deep, man.
All you poets out there, if you're cigarette smokers, I would suggest switching to electronic, and it'll help you quit.
Now, are you being paid at all by any of these electronic companies, cigarette companies, to actually come on this show tonight?
No. I don't work for anybody, man. I work for myself. I want to be a black mechanic. I told you that.
Because that
job travels.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, the job travels. You have to think about constantly being in motion. You have to think about, you know, our chain guards. I mean, you have to think about things like, you know, wow.
Well, I had a bike about five. Well, I still have it. I got it about 5 years ago, and it was sent to me via FedEx, and I had to assemble it, and I was able to do it by myself. So I figure I'm at least that good. And what,
you can put a bike together?
Yeah, man.
Why not fix bikes?
So that
a lot
took
of people
you...
can't. A lot of people can't do it.
Does
it only
work
took
right?
You, what, 2 weeks to put the bicycle together?
How long?
2 weeks?
No, it was like 2 days. Over two.
You ever like take the bike apart and put it back together?
That's what I'm gonna have to do. I wanna have something
to
ride around on this fall. I'm gonna have to fix it, so I can't afford to go get it fixed. So, but see, that's the thing. It's a mountain bike and it's got shocks on it, man, and they need to be replaced. I just want something to tool around on, man. I'm thinking about going up to Walmart, getting like a $100 bike, just a beater. You know, $89, $99.
Well,
why would you classify the Walmart bike as a beater? I mean, do they not sell quality Chinese bikes?
You see, that's the thing. That they sell their bikes in the toy department. Technically, they're not
toys.
Well, if you're really serious about bikes, you're gonna want to spend probably at least $500 on one. Just the workmanship.
You'd be coming an expert.
I know a little bit. I don't know a lot. I know a little bit, Michael.
You've obviously been studying.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just pick stuff up, man. You know me.
Right.
You know
yeah.
me.
So this technical bike school, what they will do is it's similar to the artist school where they'll send you the blank paper and you have to draw the man's head or whatever it is, the silhouette, whatever it may be. But they're going to actually send you a bike in a box and you'll have to assemble it and send it back to them?
Oh, no, you have to go out there, man. And it's like to do what I want to do, to be like certified as a entry-level kind of, you know, tech. I'd have to go out there for a couple weeks. It's a real intensive, curriculum.
Yes. Now, do you think you could get some hands-on experience if you were to going to Walmart and actually getting the job?
Well, that's the thing. They just get, you know, I wouldn't buy a mountain bike.
You could put together the bike for them.
I could.
Put together the display models.
You can put together the display models. You could put together bookshelves. You could, you know, you could stock the, you know, Campbell's soup. I mean, whatever it is that they would need, but there would be that bike experience coming in. You know, you'd be the guy. Hey, call Roger. We don't know, man. We just got a shipment
from
China. He's the bike expert, man. Talk to Roger.
You crack me up, Timber.
Wow.
I just put a dip in.
That $89.99 bike becomes what? $85.99 to you? With the Walmart discount.
Well, see, I don't want to work in Walmart, man. I think it'd be cool knowing how to fix bikes because you can make people happy, man, and they could go out and do something healthy and kind.
Crash.
You know. No, man, ride around, park, and on the, you know.
Staph infection.
I tell you, if I knew how to fix bikes when I was a teenager, that might have kept me out of a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't offer some type of course like that at juvenile detention. There wasn't something that could have been done for you back then, taking your obvious interest in biking and the repair of bikes.
Well, they thought I was blind.
Did you tell them you were blind?
No, I was born with my eyes closed, and I never learned to open them until I was about, like, 20. And one day I was like, whoa, what the hell's going on?
It's bright out here.
It's bright. I could see everything.
Wow. That's very, very, very beautiful. That actually explains a lot, Roger. I mean, that's really puts your life into perspective that we haven't heard before on the show. And, yes, it's just very beautiful. That awakening would have been so cinematic. I mean, it would have just been a panorama of visions and colors and shaping the young man's world. And it's such a shame that you spent the first 20 years, you know, staring at the inside of your eyelids, basically.
I know, man. My life could have been a lot different.
Do you ever regret opening your eyes?
Yeah, because you could never unsee anything.
Roger, this is like a new philosophical Roger, you know. Gone are the days of petty theft and misdemeanors. I mean, this is more of a
running from the law.
Yeah, this is right. a shaky payphone call in the middle of the night in the in the American nights
from
in
the Circle
city
K.
Of the
I know. I had some time to do some reading up there in county, Crispin County Jail. They have a pretty good library. I did a little
Were you able to find any poetry?
Yeah. I found
some
poetry by Helen Keller.
Oh, beautiful. And did you learn to read? Did you learn to read Braille during the 20 years of staring at your eyelids?
No, they told me I was a dummy.
Did you grow up in Florida by chance?
I did not. I heard they got...
I did. Look at me. I turned out fine.
Herpes monkeys in Florida.
Yes, they do. They have herpes. Yes. The influx of herpes monkeys to actually... it was AIDS monkeys, I think, back in the 80s, but now they've got herpes.
You see, that's the thing. I know some cool people from Florida. From Florida, you know. Like,
I'm from Florida.
That's what I mean. I know some people from Florida that are pretty cool. But I know a few people that still live there that are cool. There's cool people everywhere. But there's just a higher concentration weirdos there, man. You know, that's nothing to be ashamed of, man.
It just depends on what kind of weirdo you are, though. There is the bad weirdo.
Yeah,
like the white supremacist weirdo.
Well,
yeah,
you can find
you know,
white supremacists in any state. There's
you can find
Hicks.
A lot of them in Florida.
you know, you think in New York City, you think in New York, you don't think there's Hicks there. You go up upstate, you'll find some.
Yeah, no.
Vermont, Maine. They're like those Stephen King Yankees. I think that's a nor'easter. Bearing down. Yeah. They wouldn't trust you if you went to their town. They wouldn't tell you where, you know. They tell you the road that leads to the insane killer's house.
You ain't from around here, are you, boy?
You don't know these parts, do you, boy?
This kind of sounds like Foghorn Leghorn if he was in Vermont.
If he were a Yankee.
I see the post office is down there.
I see. See, it's kind of like same accent, isn't it?
It's pretty much the same thing, yeah.
It's like Strawberry
Creek. Foghorn with a redneck?
Yeah, I mean, everything outside of the Midwest is basically rednecks, right?
We got some rednecks in the Midwest. Come on.
Oh, come on.
There's plenty of rednecks in the Midwest.
There's the state of Nebraska.
That actually doesn't exist. I was on Alex Jones's website earlier today, and that actually actually never existed.
You know, I just read
a
list of supporters of Alex Jones, and they're all these like crazy people, man.
Well, I never said I was an actual supporter. I was just—that's where I get my news and information. I would never say I was an actual supporter.
Very good place.
You know, man. The thing is, he's selling books, man. So you might meet him, and he's just like, "Hey, what's up, dude? I'm Alex Jones. Like, I watch football and whatever." But he acts like he's all, you know,
from Texas.
Well, he probably doesn't talk like that, but. But you know what I mean. He creates controversy and keeps his name in the news no matter what because it sells books. That's what he does. He's selling books.
Now, do you think it would be good for poets actually to keep their name in the press in order to sell books and to cause controversy?
I don't sell any books.
You don't now because you're not Alex Jones. But if you were Alex Jones,
yeah, I don't keep my name in the news. I know.
I want your name in the news.
You know, Tim, this is something that I've been thinking about for some time, and for some reason, poets have it in their head that they're not allowed to promote their chapbook or whatever. That you see a post on Facebook, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry to so blatantly plug my book, but I'm sorry. But yet, if you had a band, you know, nobody, band people don't do that.
I think that's a very good, a very, very thought-provoking comment, Roger. And if they don't promote the chat book, no one else is going to. So I don't know what the apology would be either.
But it's like they're all like, oh, I'm so sorry for the blatant publicity. I'm sorry. I have a little $2 chapbook. I'm too scared to tell anybody about it. It's like you got to walk down the street and see Coca-Cola billboard. You know?
Yeah, well, I don't have billboards for chapbooks.
And I've never heard Coca-Cola billboards apologizing to me.
Let me show you guys something. See,
right.
You guys are about the age you can do this. See if you can finish this song. Now you see it, now you don't. Here you have it, here you won't. Oh, what product is that for? Hello?
Stumped us there, Roger.
Okay, how about this one?
I think Tim fell asleep or something.
Big Mac filet of fish, quarter pounder French fries. What company is that for?
Is it Burger King?
No, you're close, though.
All right.
What I'm saying is we have these heads full of advertising jingles. McDonald's never apologizes. Yet,
you got
for the
right.
For the poet to dare to publicize his or her chapbook, it's like, you know, why? I don't understand it. Poets are the only artists who are like that.
I think I like this this new philosophical, thought-provoking Roger. I mean, Michael Grover, how do you feel about displaying yourself skimpily clad on a billboard in Toledo promoting your next book?
I don't write poetry anymore, man.
Yes,
well,
you
I didn't
do.
Say it doesn't have to be poetry. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, you're writing a novel, I understand. I mean, you could finish the novel and you can, you know, perhaps wear a mankini and this, like, a full-length billboard, you know, horizontal. You're laying across it. You have the book open.
That would scare people.
See, now, there you go with that. There you go with that thing that Roger
that
was just
that
talking about.
Poetry insecurity, I know.
Yeah, the insecurity of the poet and his art and actually his product.
America's
oh, I don't know if
in,
I can do that. I'm just a little old poet over here with, a, like Roger said, a $2 chapbook, and I just can't tell anybody about it. I just can't wear that mankini on the billboard like that bucket of fried chicken did last week.
Yeah.
Fried chicken wore mankini on the billboard?
Yeah, I actually
heard
saw
McDonald's
that.
McDonald's has fried chicken now.
Oh, do they?
I don't know if it's fried or chicken.
I don't know if it's really chicken. It's probably vegetarian.
At this point,
it's
a byproduct of a byproduct.
Again, we're talking about organic vegan food, Michael Grover.
It's loosely carbon-based.
I'll get one tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know. America's pretty much doomed. People, everybody's a rapper. Everybody's a gangster. Everybody's cool, you know. It's like, what are we going to do, man?
Does Roger, I mean, Roger, do you have any type of, what would be your remedy to this?
Just for people, like, it would take something, I don't know, man. I really don't know, Tim. People are like bred this way. Everybody thinks they're on Jerry Springer. Oh, I'm. No.
Can you tell me what they say again one more time? That was.
No. Oh no, you did.
Speaking of that, Michael Grover, did you ever actually get through that series of paternity tests that you were going through?
No. Morey probably should never call me back.
Oh. I'm just going to wish you luck with anything that was...
It's because, man, if you go out in the woods, man, you just sit out there for a while and just, like, let yourself kind of breathe with the trees, man, you realize, wow, this is more of what we're supposed to be doing here than running around.
I did that the other day.
It's good for you, man. I'm glad you did, Michael. I'm glad you did, man. You know, we're not supposed to be, like, people are just like, I love people, man, but they're just driving me nuts.
What is it about them that drives you nuts the most, Roger?
Their values, man, what they value. It's all about
materialism.
Yeah, money and materialism and running around all crazy and, you know, we're eating shit and getting these diseases and I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I was born on the wrong planet.
Like you're an alien?
Just like, no, I think...
Stranger in a strange land?
Yeah, man, like Eddie.
Like Eddie?
Yeah, I can see that.
I saw the mummy, Eddie. That's the only one I saw.
Oh, live?
Yeah, the Power Slave Tour.
Yeah, I saw them in 90, man, when or 91, when we was invading, you know, the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
They were all like warmongers, man. That kind of like changed my view of them. They're all waving a big flag and, you know, we're going to kick Saddam's ass. And
oh, boy.
I thought metal was supposed to rage against that, man, you know. At least where I come from.
When I saw them, they had Twisted Sister opening for them, so, like, Twisted Sister fans hate Iron Maiden, so somebody threw a shoe at Bruce Dickinson, and he got all mad and stopped the show and threatened to kick somebody's ass.
I'll kick your bloody ass, mate.
From the guy that threw the shoe and kick his ass and throw him out of here.
You know, we did a shoe throwers in East Wuggeslum. Wigglesham. In East Wigglesham, we kicked their arse.
Arse? Yeah, you gotta say arse.
We kicked their arse in East Wigglesham. We do. Have you ever seen the Monty Python skit, Bicycle Repairman?
No.
Like, everybody is dressed in a Superman suit. Like, little kids, everybody. And somebody falls off a bike. And there's this guy, Bicycle Repairman, who's dressed as a Superman, but he has to, like, change into Bicycle Repairman and go help the fixed back. They're pretty, man, they're pretty far out there, those Monty Python dudes.
Well, the bicycle repairman was actually his alter ego.
Yeah. Well, I just heard some drum. Was that Maiden? Oh, it's Bob.